You're listening to GGR Pirate Radio. Don't be a juice bag.
Greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. This is Russ, the Opaque Senator, coming to you with the Gamer Den, lover of all things StarCraft, Yu-Gi-Oh, Sonic the Hedgehog, et al. Happy 2024, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back, somehow, to the Gamer Den.
We're back. We're alive. We're here.
We're back. And it's not.
We've been busy playing games.
We're back, and it's not a dinosaur story. I like that. That's a deep cut reference for anyone who knows it.
That is a deep cut for anyone. how you been, man? How's everything?
I've been okay.
How's your gaming? You know, 2023, it's over. We have, you know, things on the horizon for 2024. But you know, I'd love to chat about the year ended. What type of gaming did you do last year? Can you give me a synopsis of like the take me on a journey through your library? And I kind of want to get some actual numbers. What is your most played game of 2023?
Oh, that's an easy one, actually. So I definitely spent the most time playing Yu-Gi-Oh! Master Duel. At this point, well, since I bought the game, which only been a couple years, but since I bought the game, I have 575 hours into that game, which is kind of insane when I think about it. But
how long ago did you buy that game?
I mean, I bought it when it came out, so that came out during the pandemic. So it's been less than 3 years, but that's a lot of time, man.
Is it?
I mean. Well, okay, and, you know, the thing is, especially with Master Duel, because, like, what I'll usually do with Master Duel, and this is, my gaming in 2023 was basically, I spent a lot of time doing Master Duel, and then the other two games that really dominated my time were, as I've talked about, obviously, a lot in the past, StarCraft. I played a lot of StarCraft 2, and I've continued that again, and then somewhere, I think it happened more around, like, September, which it's kind of hard to believe that we haven't been on podcast in 6 months. So
yeah, sorry about that, fans. We're back. It was partially my fault. I was really busy with work. I had some traveling and stuff that was going on. And then when Russ and I finally were able to link back together, we bumped into each other at a social, and he was like, "Get on and podcast with me now." And so here we are.
With
mournful faces of lost time not talking to you.
I know, right? Well, even we barely talked to each other as very much recently, so it's just nice to actually have some time to just chat and catch up. So but yes, and that's not just your fault too. I was definitely pretty crazy busy and stuff with work as well, and honestly the whole GGR side, I know, we've all been kind of I was talking about it with Mike, our editor, and we were saying we went from 2020 and we had all this time, and then we kind of, even though 2021 and getting into early 2022, like we still had a lot of time, even though things were opening back up, because things were still like slow generally for a lot of places. But then like, right. I feel like end of 2022 and then 2023, especially, like I feel like life has just taken off again. Like I feel like I have stuff every weekend going on. I think people, for the most part, are back out socializing and doing things. So, like, a lot of the time that I've spent over the last several years just gaming, I've been just being out and about, and I've been just appreciating that. And I think it's important to have that balance. But, I think that, you know, but you also don't want to lose track of the gaming and doing the things that you enjoy. But to continue what I was saying, though, I don't want to get too off topic on that. But I visited some friends in Detroit. And they had gotten back, or I don't know if they'd gotten back is the word, but had refocused again on League of Legends. So the end last several months of 2023, I actually started playing League again. And that is a game I had not played in many years. So, and it was kind of cool to get back into that and be driving towards something and getting good at the game. Because when I left league, I was actually, I feel like I was pretty decent at the game. You know, probably platinum level, I guess you could say. But like, it, you know, I wasn't great, but like, you know, I definitely held my own in whatever role, like the roles. So I could play all the roles. I definitely played a lot of like mid lane and ADC, and but I could play anywhere, and it was, you know, I was kind of that utility guy. Where do you need me? All right, I'll be fine. And like, I was the guy you generally didn't have to worry about. And then like, the big reason I left league was, again, the toxicity of that community. And I've talked about that on the podcast in the past. But like, when I had several friends playing it, and it was like, oh, well, you know, get back into it. And then I realized there's a way you could just turn off all chat in general. And it was like, it made the game so much fun. I don't see anybody blaming anybody else, and I don't see anybody being angry at anybody else, and whatever's happening, fine.
It's funny you bring that up, because my 2023 gaming experience, I can boil down to a couple games. I don't get me wrong, I dabble around in lots of things, but where I really dropped my time was one specific game, but I'm not going to talk about it yet. Instead, your speaking of League of Legends made me think of the toxic community that I dove back into and happily shut off the chat with everyone except for my friends, which was Call of Duty.
Oh, really? You played some Call of Duty?
Yeah, right? I got back into duty. I started playing like Warzone with my cousin. I hadn't gamed with him in a long time. We used to have so much fun playing an old game called SOCOM 2. And after SOCOM, we moved into duty. And then it was such a racist, horrible, disgusting community. And I just decided that I didn't want that negativity around me, so I backed out of that game. And I think that's around when I started, I want to say that's way back, like 2015, and I started putting my time into Rocket League, you know.
That's right. That's actually how we connected on gaming.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love, to this day, I've been playing Rocket League. I probably have played, I would have to look at my actual hours. I'd have to log in to look at my hours and tell you. But I haven't put as many hours into Rocket League as I think I would have. But I play it on multiple platforms. So I might have to compile my hours between PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, and now PC. But my account should have migrated. But I bet you I have days of time played on there, guaranteed. Like, lots of days. No point in counting it in hours at this point. The hours would be the smaller of the measurements for the amount of time played in Rocket League. But Call of Duty, I put about 400 hours into 373 is what I'm looking at right now, into playing Call of Duty again with my cousin. And I had a blast doing it. The only issue that I have with this game is it's a hog on any system that you run it. And there's still so many modders and hackers out there that, like, you always end up falling into some game with some guy that's just Superman. But they've gotten better about that. But being able to shut off the toxic chat was really nice. But game of the year this year was Baldur's Gate. And I think I even talked about it a lot on this podcast. I've been playing it since beta, and I actually put like 600 to 800 hours into the beta. I bought the beta whenever it first came out. And I know Act 1 inside out. Like, I'd love to talk to Larian to give them my scoop and show them screenshots of the amount of time that I've put into this game, and not being a like streamer content creator type of, I don't do any platforms like that, but I have so much knowledge of the game where I've figured out ways to break things, and I've seen the beautiful stuff that they've done, and they deserve Game of the Year, man. They did a heck of a job. But since the game was released, Russ, you said you have 500 hours in a game that you got 3 years ago.
But almost 600, 573. So that was
okay.
Yeah, so, again, you know, that's That's the main one, but between that, StarCraft, and League, I'd have to compile. I don't have a StarCraft counter. That one would also be, especially since I bought that. I don't want to see what happens since I bought that game.
I actually have to look up when the release of Baldur's Gate was. Maybe you could do that real quick, when the actual release was.
The release date was August 3rd for the actual game.
I have lost so much sleep. So, Steam says that I have 1,066.6 hours played in Baldur's Gate 3. And I don't know if that includes my beta time. Let's just say that it does. That is a disgusting amount of time. And
listen, you are in the gamer den. This is kind of what we're expected to do, to be fair.
And you're right. And I loved every freaking point, the tenth of a minute of it. What a great game. I am still learning things in this game. It is so vast. And the story is so compelling. Oh my goodness. Like, what a great game. So 2023, thank you for giving us Baldur's Gate. Baldur's Gate, 100%. Larian, you deserve that game of the year. And I mean, honestly, somebody better come out with something good, because this game might be the best story-based game I've played in ages.
Wow.
It's going to leave one heck of a mark and one heck of a milestone to jump back past when it comes to graphics, player like agency, the things that you can do in this game. I can go on a whole rant, and maybe we'll talk more about that later. But yeah, that was the front of my game.
So one of the things we had planned for the podcast we were going to do after the last one we did, that just never ended up happening. So you actually got me into this game. I'm at 8.6 hours, and I've pretty much only played with you and my brother, who also plays Baldur's Gate 3. But I tend to take the road less traveled as a player of games like Baldur's Gate. He's done these D&D style, I guess you call it D&D style role-playing games.
Dungeon crawl, turn-based. Yeah.
I remember, I think you had a list of things that I did that you were like, I've never seen anybody do that before.
Yes, I did have a list. And actually, I got a new computer since then, so I think the note is on my other computer. But
there were a couple of things that I like.
Here it is. Yep. I have the note. Yeah, you killed Asterion, Gale, and Lazel for no reason.
I don't remember who was who, but there was one dude who was in a portal that, like, he deserved it, because he
that was Gale.
Okay, yeah, he deserved it.
And then Asterion was the vampire, the hunky vampire, that he's like, has that like smug accent and is just too good for things, and you murdered him also. And Lazel is the Githyanki warrior that was there, and for some reason you decided to kill her. It was rather shocking that it was like, hey, here's three characters that'll actually be your friends. No, murder them. Okay, let's move on.
To be fair, the one dude was in the portal, and I was trying to save him, and then he made fun of me, and I'm like, well, I'm not saving you, and then he just got sucked into the black hole. And I remember you and my brother were, like, freaking out. You were like, I've never seen anyone, I didn't know you could even do that.
Yes.
Which I think is, I think that's the way a game should be played. You gotta surprise people a little bit.
Yeah, then I think you pulled the whole camp down on top of us somehow, because you stole from a druid and almost got yourself killed, but you leveled up, and then you hid in the camp and leveled up, and you ended up getting a couple health potions from like the Dark Urge butler or something. It was good. I have some great notes here of things that we did.
I do want to get back and playing that with you guys at some point. Just, it's tough to, that's the thing with gaming with friends, it's really hard for like three and four people to find time all at the same time these days to do that, which is kind of crazy to think about. But I did enjoy, and it won Game of the Year, it won Role-Playing Game of the Year, I think it won an award for voice acting as well. So I mean, yeah, definitely, and it is fun. Like I said, I don't usually get into like the D&D style stuff quite as much, like, but I did enjoy that. But yeah, it's definitely not, that wasn't my favorite games, but like, I definitely enjoyed my time I was playing with it. I do intend to play more of it as we come into 2024 at some point. That's for sure. But yeah, so that was, yeah, but, and it's really cool. I think the thing I want to get with that too, I do plan at some point upgrading my graphics card on my computer. I think once I do that, I think I'll also enjoy the game a little bit more, because there were definitely weird graphical things that I would have happen sometimes just because I'm running.
Yeah, they've done some hot fixes to work on, you know, the quality of life. But I can agree that even I have a pretty decent machine, but I'm going to alter my whole setup here eventually. And when I do, I think that it'll even upgrade the quality of life more, because playing it on PlayStation 5, it's gorgeous.
Oh, I'm sure. There's a couple games that I can imagine. Actually, I saw another game that won. I think it won for soundtrack, and I think it was like anticipated. Final Fantasy 16. I don't have PlayStation 5, and I don't have the game, but I've watched a good chunk of it play through like friends of mine. That's a gorgeous looking game, and again, that, as with most Final Fantasies, the soundtrack on that is quite good. It is very, very good to be listening to. So if you are looking for soundtracks out there, folks, I know that's one of my big things I harp on a lot with games. If you're looking for a soundtrack to listen to, that one is pretty solid, and it won an award for it, so definitely check it out.
Yeah, I implore you gamers, if you haven't, which you probably have, if you listen to us, you probably have, like, honestly, because the folks that are listening, I know you're all avid gamers, and this is one of those you at least gotta like. You at least got to press some buttons in it. You got to check it out. I will say one thing. The interface on the PlayStation is very learning curved compared to the ease of use on a PC. Mm. And that's Larry, and I know you didn't have any other way to do it. There's so many options to give people the ability to do the things that they could do. We understand.
Yes. It's tough. And again, like the biggest thing, like I remember this with WoW and a lot of, like, it's really tough because like everybody's tech is in different levels. I mean, you can't, it's hard to make everything, you know, everything work perfectly for everybody. And obviously the ability to change graphic settings and all that helps. But like, you know, if you're playing on a toaster, there's only so many options that you have. And thankfully I do not play on a toaster, but I've upgraded most of the things. The last thing is the most expensive. That's the graphics card. And once I get that on mine, I think I'll be able to really take my gaming to the next level and be able to really. That's because that's also kept me from buying like certain things. Just because I know it's not going to run. But a lot of the stuff that's out coming, like the newer stuff that's out now, it is an indie base. It's just not going to run very well on my computer. So that definitely plays a role in the games I choose to play and like what I'm playing stuff on. So.
Yeah, I'm very interested in seeing where the games are going to go in 2024, man. Like, what's going to happen next? You know?
Oh, yeah.
There's, I haven't heard anything that's making me go, oh my gosh, but I also feel like I've been slightly disconnected for a while. So, have you heard of anything that's going to be coming out soon that you're like, oh, I can't wait until this drops this year?
Well, so not so much gaming wise, because I have not been as on top of like new releases coming out, but there was one bit of news that did come across actually very, very recently, I think within the last like day or two, that I saw that I was very excited about, and that concerns Sega, because everyone knows how big of a fan of Sega and their games I am. They appointed Shuji Utsumi to be the president and COO. And this is the guy that he's been in a lot of different aspects of gaming, but helped launch the Dreamcast, helped launch one of the PlayStations, I think PlayStation 2. Like, this is a guy that like understands the gaming world. So I'm really curious to see how he's going to bring things into 2024 and beyond, because I think the Sega has made some good steps lately, especially starting to bring in some like older IPs, and I think we're going to start seeing more of those things be released in the coming years. I know they're supposed to do a new Crazy Taxi, Jet Set Radio, new Streets of Rage. Like, there's a bunch of like those types of things coming, and you know,
a new Jet Set Radio.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, there's Sega for so new long.
Streets
had all these,
of Rage.
That's what I've been hearing. They're supposed to. They're rebooting in addition to that, Shinobi. At Golden Axe, so it's five that's have to be rebooting. So
I know, like, this month, nostalgia-wise, I'm thinking of Tekken. Tekken 8 is coming out January 26th, supposedly, and that seems exciting. For the anime fans, in February, Jujutsu Kaisen is dropping a game, which, awesome anime. If we get any anime or manga heads out there and you haven't checked that out, please check out Jujutsu Kaisen. Pretty fun.
Tekken 8, I think, is January 26th, I believe. I think is what.
Yes.
I...
Yeah. Tekken 8, January 26th, and Jujutsu Kaisen is February 2nd. Nice. Just scanning through. Yeah. See.
They're doing Last of Us Part 2's remasters coming out January 19th, which would be pretty close to around when this podcast, a little after when this podcast released. Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown, that's coming out January, I think, 18th as well. So a couple of January releases that are coming out that are looking pretty interesting. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, February 29th on Leap Day, I think is going to be
pretty exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big Final Fantasy VII fan, and yes, the gaming soundtracks that, like, you know, mean something. Phenomenal. So I'm excited for that. I actually start to finish up Final Fantasy VII Remake, the first part of all that. I've got through a good chunk of it on PlayStation, and then I just, you know how it goes. Again, another game comes out, you start getting into that, and you start losing, like, I have so many unfinished games. Elden Ring, that, Sonic Frontiers, I still want to get through a part of. There's a bunch, and I just, you know, I keep buying things, I keep seeing things, and it just makes it tough. But
for my RPG fans, it looks like Dragon's Dogma is dropping. Dragon's Dogma 2 in March. Scrolling ahead, I see that. Hello Kitty.
That is not coming out, but
sorry, my big man comes over and starts yelling at us sometimes, and it looks like there's a bunch of TBAs, but nothing that's making me scream, this is on its way. I think I need to wait for some videos, some trailers, so I can get eyes on these names that I'm unfamiliar with. Ooh, I see something about a Hades 2. I don't know if you've had a chance to play Hades, but I have a lot of friends that really love that game.
I have I have it on Steam. I just have yet to play it. It's another one on the long list of games that I am going to be doing. So that's for sure. I've heard nothing but good things about it, though. I'm excited to play it.
I also haven't had the chance to really dig into that, so I'm interested to find out. Oh my goodness gracious, scrolling through this list, I've bumped into one of my cult classic favorites. Has talked about dropping a sequel for ages, and I don't know if you remember this game, Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines.
No, I don't know that one.
So this was a story. You were a young turned vampire, and it had like a whole background about different types and like factions of vampires, and you would pick a faction, and like the role play and options that there were to talk about were really cool. And I just never got a chance to, well, I ended up playing the main game a lot, but they talked so much about coming out with a two, and I'm talking, this is like, oh gosh, I have to look it up now. Give me 1 second. I gotta look up the date that Vampire Masquerade. And this game came out way, way back.
Is it a action adventure, or like, what style is it?
It is a kind of action adventure, choose your fate type of thing. It reminded me of, like, I think Fable would have been something that a lot of people played, or Skyrim-esque, like.
Okay.
But old school, man. Old school. Gosh, I'm in 91 it was released. That might be older than some people's. Oh, it was released as a tabletop video game in 91, as a tabletop game in 91. But I want to say it was like PlayStation 1. I'll find it eventually. I'm going to stop searching right now. But I think it was PlayStation 1 that it actually came out. And man, the game was phenomenal. Beautiful writing, wonderful story, rather like in depth for being such an older school system. And I think it was underrated. A lot of people might not have got the chance to play it. But a two coming out with the things I've seen, like Grand Theft Auto, can you imagine a vampire? You are a vampire, but in a Grand Theft Auto type of world, or a Skyrim type of world, that like there's a big story based around it. Games like Cyberpunk that came out, and the things that they can do with Unreal 5, there's such possibilities.
That's not, like it, that does sound, that sounds pretty amazing actually.
And I'm a big fan of supernaturals and fantasies, and that sounds like so much fun. I hope they've sure taken their time. So I hope they produce what my gut tells me they can. You know,
I think there's games like that, the ones like stuff like that, that like the diamonds in the rough that people like dig up and they bring back, they tend to do a good job with those. It's the like those are the ones, because like they're not gonna do it unless they have something for it, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I think there's definitely gonna be something positive with that. I was looking at the Nintendo releases, because obviously I have a Switch, and I know they're looking
for, I found it.
What's that?
It came out in 2004.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that was towards the end of my high school days there. All right. God, we're old.
Yeah.
Well, you're not
high school.
High school was a long time ago, my man. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, I think I had a full-time job in 2004.
I was part-time at that point, but yeah, I was working and all that. So that's kind of crazy. But yeah, I was looking at some of the upcoming Nintendo releases. Obviously, they mentioned the Switch 2. The rumor is that's going to be coming out 2024. There were
any talk of the upgrades that they're going to be doing, or
you know how Nintendo is.
Yeah,
you know how they are about stuff like that.
We're not going to tell you anything. You'll find out.
That's one discussion I always think is interesting. I see so many people that are like, you know, oh, Nintendo should just be, they should do what Sega does. They should stop making systems. They should just focus on games. And they should, or then I also hear like, oh, they need to give up their IPs so that people can, like, I'm like, guys, Nintendo's been doing it longer and better than anybody else. Like, the consistent level of quality from their mainline title, like, how many Mario games are there? And how many of them are still good? It's amazing. Like, Zelda was, again, the latest Zelda game, Tears of the Kingdom, was, again, in the running for best game of the year, and it won action adventure game of the year. I mean, it's
right.
The fact that they can still, and I mean, I think they've sold like more Switches than most other systems at this point. Like, they have the right to do whatever they want at this point. So, And I trust them. They're so guarded on their IPs. And I get it now. I used to kind of think like, what are they doing? But I really get it now. Like, they really do care about quality, and I think they learned from the Wii days of having all that shovelware.
Yes.
You know, they've done a good job keeping things going. But there's a Mario versus Donkey Kong game, though. I saw it's coming out in February 16th, which that piques my interest a little bit to see like what they would do with that. I think I remember seeing something about it early on, and like they're bringing back like that's like one of the earliest games ever was Donkey Kong, and you know,
yep.
Mario hopping up to try to get, or Jumpman at that point.
Yep.
Making his way up and trying to get Donkey Kong. But there's a Contra game early 2024, Contra Operation Galuga. That's on the docket. I think before April was the plan for that one, but I haven't seen a date. Metal Slug Tactics, Luigi's Mansion 2 HD, the Lord of the Rings game I see on there.
Metal Slug, what a wonderful game.
Yeah, right? That's what they had. Again, I haven't seen that name in a while. I guess that's
I remember awesome. Playing Metal Slug on an arcade machine. Like, what a wonderful game. That was so much fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, any of those style games you're going to have a good time with. So there's some things coming up. I think we'll start getting more announcements. The other thing, too, I think this is also going to be, like, I don't see, like, tons of as many huge names that I think we have seen in the last couple of years. But I think there's like, again, with, I think Nintendo's probably start, they're working on the Switch too. They're going to start trying to have releases for that. So I'm expecting this Nintendo to have a bit of a down year as far as new releases now. I think now that PS5 is now going to be the only thing they're developing instead of, you know, games for both PS4 and PS5, I think you're going to see Sony start really hunkering down and actually releasing like games. Everybody buys PS5 and not just, you know, because that's been right. Kind of the thing holding me back on it. I'm like, I don't see a reason, because there's still only like 10 games for it that I can't get for PS4. So like, why would I, or download on my computer? So why would I buy this console right now when I can just wait and still get most of the games? But I think as like the big developers start actually focusing on the next generation of things, I think it's going to be, I think next year is going to be the year we're going to see a lot of brand new things coming out, that, and it's going to be a huge list versus, oh, we're remaking that, huh? Okay, cool. But okay, we're remaking that again. How many times are we going to remake that?
Right.
The other one I was kind of excited for that I can't find, I mean, I'll have to look again if I can find the info on it, but I heard they're making another Budokai, Dragon Ball Z Budokai game.
Oh, really?
That was a rumor too. I want to see if I can find anything on that one. I was looking at, I remember reading something about that a while back, and then I just didn't see anything on it for a bit. Do they have a new release date? I'm looking right now.
I sure had a lot of fun talking trash with my friends playing Budokai.
The funny thing is, I think about like I have bought several Dragon Ball games over the years, and it's literally just releasing the same game over and over with just like very, very slight tweaks. So I'm like,
yep.
I mean, I stopped. That's the reason why I stopped buying Madden. So I'm like, well, you know, I mean, why am I spending $60 on this game when I kind of already have it? So yeah, but I heard that's coming out, but I don't think there's a release date. Yeah, I'm not seeing if there's a release date, and I don't see one. So, I don't see a release date yet. So, but that's on the docket. So there are things to be excited about on the horizon, but I think right now, I think this year, those couple that we mentioned, I think there's going to be lots of good indie games coming out. My latest purchase was Sonic Superstars. Mm-hmm. I did get that for the Switch, so that'll be the next game I start getting into, I think, once I get off of my league kick here. But I'm definitely going to hit that up here shortly. And I do want to pick one of either like Sonic Frontiers, Elden Ring, one of those like longer games after mm-hmm. I finish Superstars and actually finish. Like, my goal will be to finish one of those before the winter ends. Because I don't like having all these games just sitting on my docket, and I don't do anything with them. So, and then my brother and I bought a game. I don't know if you remember the old, the Newgrounds, like the Flash animation videos, but there was one they did of Metal Gear Crab Battle.
Oh, goodness gracious.
You remember that one?
No.
Oh, I'll, after we're done, I'll send it to you. But to this day, it makes me laugh. And I have a couple of friends that I still make the joke about. I saw this game during the Steam Winter Sale that just ended called Crab Champions. And I made my brother buy it, and I bought it too for like $7. So it's literally just like a run-and gun shooter, and you're a crab. And I'm like, okay, I can buy that. That sounds like a great way to spend some time blowing off some steam. So I'm excited for that. But yeah, I think that's the thing I'm excited for 2024. Do you have any other things that you're like excited for 2024?
Game wise, no, not so much. I'm still searching for that thing that's gonna make me go, oh yeah, that's it. You know,
it'll come out of nowhere. Like, you know, that's the thing I've learned is that I get surprised by something. And again, the big thing that's been surprising me the most lately are the retro remakes that have come out. Like, I'll get, like, in 2020, I got Panzer Dragoon remake, and then, you know, some of these other ones that have come out that have just been, you know, games I love, but they just, like, update and redo, and, you know, that's the stuff that, like, I get really excited about these days. I the other one that I am a little excited about, too, just Stormgate. I think they're planning on releasing that this year. I haven't seen any set dates, but I know the betas are out for that now. That's supposed to be the new StarCraft. And a lot of like former StarCraft pros are like in party, like the developing that one, like TLO and a bunch of those guys. Like I've seen some stuff on it. It looks interesting. And it's cool. It'll be nice to have like a big name RTS out there. That's like, cause RTS hasn't really lost a lot of steam over the years, I think just because of the complexity and difficulty it is to get good at them. But I'm hoping like a new one that can like jumpstart interest in that again, I think would be pretty awesome. I mean, I still spend my nights to fall asleep at night, I'm watching StarCraft 2 replays still, so that tells you how who I am as a person. So
you know, when it came to RTS, I think that I played Command and Conquer the most out of all the RTS that I played.
Yeah, StarCraft, and then Age of Empires, AOE over back in the day. Those are probably the two that took up the most of my time. But there's been
I did play some Age of Empires.
Absolutely, it's great. That's great stuff. So I guess, you know, we just finished 2023. You highlighted a little bit of, you know, your Baldur's Gate and such. What are like some high moments for you for 2023?
Like in games?
Yeah. Or in gaming, or I mean, really, we could talk anything, but we talked a little bit about Baldur's Gate. Were there any specific like moments in like Baldur's Gate, like the game, the storyline, or like any of the other games that you were playing that you were just sort of like, you really hit like a cool thing with?
You know, game-wise, this year, I think I made it to the highest rank I've made it in Rocket League. I peaked at champ.
Nice.
And I was really impressed with that. After playing this game for, how many years has it been now? 8? Like, way too many. That's definitely the highest I've ever made it. Outside of gaming, like in life, I probably had the most successful year in my job that I've ever had, which was super cool. And my wife and I did some really cool traveling. We got to see some cool places over the last couple years. Maybe not this year I'm really excited about going to see the eclipse. I'm gonna be going down to make sure I'm in totality to see the eclipse that's happening in April.
Where's that at? Where's it gonna be seen at?
Actually, you know, it's gonna stretch from like it's coming down almost through Erie area. Oh, okay. And then it's gonna stretch the far south on a swoop westward, and I think that we're gonna travel somewhere around Texas to go and check it out. So that's gonna be really exciting. We just started making plans for that. We went to the eclipse in 2018. We went mm-hmm. to Yellowstone to go and see it. And I can honestly say it was probably one of the coolest things I ever did in my life. I'm chasing one now, you know what I mean? So I'm really excited about that.
Because you it wasn't complete, but you could see a good chunk of it from Pittsburgh, and during the 2018 one, I remember the weird thing about it was just like wildlife. Like we were obviously outside looking at it, and just like there's some woods near where we were at, and like wildlife got like really funny, like watching animals like react to this, and like I remember
fun fact. If you were 99.9% on a line and then you weren't at 100%, you still don't get the full effect.
Where it's like the actual darkening, like the real darkening.
Where the true eclipse is happening. Yeah. So, like, if you look up at the sky when it's at 99%, the sun will still hurt your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're in 100%, man, it turned to nighttime. Stars came out, Russ.
Oh, that's crazy.
in the middle of the day, stars came out. I watched the shadow run over top of the Tetons at the fastest speed you've ever seen. And in seconds, we were like engulfed. There was a horizon 360 degrees. If you turned in a circle, I have a video on my Facebook. It's kind of cool. You turn in a circle and you can see a 360 degree horizon, like sun setting on the horizon is what it looked like everywhere. But if you look up, there was this ring with a little diamond that was like shining off of it. And you can see like vividly the sky behind it, and all the birds started like singing night songs, and like nocturnal bugs, it was wild, man. The temperature changed by like 20 degrees in seconds.
Wow.
It was deep, man. It was the coolest thing. I could talk
I'm a big spacer. I'm fascinated by the workings of our solar system and just how all that stuff works. And that does sound wild. Like that's, again, the little bit that I've experienced was like, that was cool enough, but obviously it was still daylight. It wasn't anywhere near what you're describing. But like you could, even with what I experienced, you could still see like things were weird. Like
it's a powerful event, man. And I urge you, April, what is it? Somewhere between the 6th and 9th or something. I want to say it's the 8th or the 7th. I'm not positive exactly which day it is, but I'm taking off work from like the 6th to the 10th.
Dude, maybe I'll join you. That sounds awesome.
Come on, man.
That does sound pretty cool. I've never been to Texas before either, so that could be pretty interesting. That sounds awesome. Well, good, man. I knew you were doing a lot for work. I knew you're doing some traveling for work. I didn't realize you had to travel outside of that too. So, I'm really glad you got to have such a good experience. So, I know so many people that had very difficult and challenging 2023s, and I was not one of those people. I had a pretty good year, all things considered. Like I also felt like I was pretty having a lot of success in my job and working towards some things. Obviously, for you and I, we both got our dream cars, I know, so
yeah,
that was definitely a fun moment, I think, for both of us, just kind of geeking out over your WRX and my 86, so it was
Most definitely. Oh, man, I got pulled over the other day.
If you want to take a time podcast, to apologize.
and the police were awesome, by the way. And he walks up to the car, and I was like, is there a reason why I got pulled over? And it was actually my registration. I needed to renew my registration.
Hmm.
And I was like, he was like, yeah, it, it, your plate, there's something with your plate. We just, you know, we can get it fixed quickly. I'm just going to give you a warning. He was really nice. I was like, oh, good thing. I thought it was, you know, I was like, I'm driving good. He was like, yeah, I know you can drive bad in that thing. I was like, I knew I was staying under, like, around the speed limit. He was like, no, your driving's fine. He was like, but I could tell how fast it is. When I was behind you, I could hear it. I was like, uh-oh. And then when he gave me the ticket, he was like, yeah, nice car, drive safe. And luckily, God, he gave me a warning. Thank you, officer. Yeah, that police department is fantastic. I don't want to call anybody out, but thank you.
That's cool, man. Yeah, I've been fortunate so far. I've just been so dang careful because, like, you know, my car's red and might as well have a giant target on it for police pulling me over.
And so. It sounds pretty monstrous also.
Yeah, you know? I got that Corsa dual exhaust on there, so that that helps. that baby can move when I need it to, so. I'll tell you what, but I get, even that, like, you know, just driving to work has been, like, it's a, you know, things that, like, you know, not that I ever minded about driving.
Joy.
But now it's like, exactly, it's like a joyous thing now. It's like, oh, I get to hear my baby roar, and I get to hear, like, or like when I have a bad day, like if I have a bad day, and then I walk out from my bad day at work, and I see that, and I just see my car in a parking lot, and I'm like,
yeah,
I can't not smile. Like
the upside of it being my everyday driver is it's so much fun, and I love it. Like, it definitely brings me joy. The downside of it being my everyday driver, I have a 40-mile drive to get to work. So, oh, wow. I put 80 miles on her a day. So she's getting the workout, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one thing I was looking at, too. It was like, because I looked at the miles. I bought my car. It was, as I told you, it was slightly used, but like, very, like, 2,200 miles used, so, like, new. And I had put more miles on it than were on it, and, like, literally, like, by the end of, like, one week, I'm like, oh, I need to, like, be careful with this. It's a little too enjoyable.
Yeah, my car is going to be a year old in March, and I think I'm on par to probably put a good worker's average of like 15K or something.
Yeah.
You know, but when I was driving the other day, I looked down, I was like, man, I'm at like 12K. Holy cow.
Yeah, it happens quickly.
Yeah.
It happens quickly. That's all you can do. I mean, it's all you can do. But yeah, I mean, like, you know, that was probably one of my big moments of the year was doing that. I had a really good, like, my birthday month is in March, and I had a really good March this past 2023. I did a couple dance events, you know, got to visit some friends, got to go to, the other big thing I got to do was, the big EDM festival in Miami, Ultra, got to do Ultra Music Festival, which, you know, that was wild.
That's sweet.
Never been around that many people in my life, so that was unique. So yeah, I got to do some really cool things for 2023, and I'm excited for what 2024 has to offer. But yeah, it's exciting, and, you know, and again, good, you know, obviously gaming podcast, but it's kind of cool to catch up. But, you know, for the gaming podcast side of things, one of the things I am going to kind of commit to, I'm not, you know, I haven't been as big on like New Year's resolutions, but like, I do want to refocus on some of the games, like, you know, and playing things beyond, you know, my, I won't say time waster games, but like League and Yu-Gi-Oh and all that have been fun. But like, I really want to make it a point to get into my backlog, because I do have, and obviously grow this and continue to do more podcasting more regularly. We're not going to say when we're going to come on next, because I feel like that's like a death knell for us. But like, even if we get to a point where we're doing once a month, I think a reasonable goal.
I would love that.
Yeah, I think like that way we're not overtaxed. But like, if we're getting to that point, it's like, hey, we can set up a time in the next like 2 weeks, right? Yeah, we can do that. And, you know, we'll have a lot to talk about. And that also kind of gives me that extra oomph to like, hey, I want to make sure I complete this game and at least start this one and, you know, whatnot. So I think that's kind of like my goal for 2024 is, you know, really getting into like some of these games and the news cycle and all that, and try to actually earn my keep for some of the, like, getting a new system and all that. Because, you know, it's hard to rectify doing something like that right now with the amount that I've been gaming. So I want to be able to make it worth it. Make, you know, when I do buy a graphics card, be able to actually put some stuff on it and all that too. So I'm excited for what 2024 has to offer. And as far as like moments in gaming, I can tell you, again, playing Baldur's Gate with you and my brother was a lot of fun. I feel like we had a lot of laughs during that. Playing some, you were mentioning your Rocket League in Master Duel. I actually hit Diamond finally for the first time.
Nice.
So that, you know, you got Wood League, you got Bronze, Silver, Gold, Platinum, and then Diamond, and then Master. So like actually, the problem was like you have to play a lot of games to get up to move up in like leagues, because each league is divided into five tiers, and you have to have like pretty good winning streak to get into the next tier. So it's like, and it's all best of ones. So it you do have to grind a little bit, and I don't really run. I've never been someone who runs like the meta and does like meta decks. So I've always been trying to play things outside of that. So I have a couple now that I've been running and toiling with and working out slowly, but I was able to make Diamond this last month to end 2023. So that was probably my other big gaming achievement, if you will.
Right on.
So yeah, that was exciting. That was definitely exciting.
Gaming achievement. I have completed Baldur's Gate enough times to where I have seen, I want to say, at least a good 40% of the game.
That's the crazy part about, and like that's the crazy part about games like that, like Skyrim, like, you know, you could put 100 hours into it and not even see half of it. And that to me is daunting. Like, that's a really daunting thing. Yeah, Tears of the Kingdom is another great thing.
It's one of those, like, so for me, a game like this is more like a good book. My wife reads. She is a bookworm. She, like, the best thing I ever got her was a Kindle. I swear, she burns through books epically quick. And it's funny because I had this conversation with her. I think that games are my books. I really like immersing myself in single-player story-based action RPG games where I can live the life of Kratos and and destroy things with my axe because I'm the god of war, you know? And as that's happening, I will put epic amounts of time into this game and then be sad when I get to the end. And then not pick the game back up, like, I'm done with you, like a bad breakup, a bad relationship, and I'll love the game, but, like, it feels like I flipped through a lot of games, almost like they're books, and certain ones are so good, you go back to them another time. Yeah. I play a lot of games for story, so those 100-hour daunting games are, like, some of my bread and butter. I love the evolution of stories and trying to see all the different possibilities, like, and this brings me back to Baldur's Gate. You know, Larian put a spider web of dialogue options in there that lead you in a plethora of choose your own adventure possibilities that you can derail the way that you did, Russ. and it's just mind-boggling. You don't get that much nowadays, and those are my favorites. So I love digging into those hundreds of hour games. I love finding all the nooks and crannies and exploits and you know, just living the life of or in the shoes of player character, you know.
That's awesome. I think that's why we're a good match, because like I enjoy this to a point, but then like then I'm like, again, with certain games it's different, but like for the most part, once I do something like that, like I've played the main story, I'm done. Like I'll do the main storyline, I'll do a couple of side quests, and then I'm like, I'm kind of ready for the next thing. And that's kind of how I am. I'm like, I think it's like life for a lot of things too. It's like,
but it's funny because I know you're not like that in games like Zelda or Sonic, or you know what I mean, like those games.
Certain ones of them. Like, right. Majora's Mask, I have fully completed multiple times. Sonic the Hedgehog, Sonic, like, 3 and 3 and Knuckles and 2 and a couple of the Sonic games I have definitely fully completed. There's some FPSs and such that I've definitely fully completed. But for the most part, and then Ori and the Will of the Wisps, I actually fully completed like that game. I didn't get the whole map shown, like as far as like every like single corner and every little like, there's people that go full collectathon, like every little like piece of treasure, every little piece of like money. Like I didn't do that, but like I completed the game, got to every area, unlocked, you know, the whole map is shown. And completed all the quests. It was like that was one of those games I really got immersed in. Loved Ori and the Will of the Wisps.
I am definitely in complete-a-thon mode with Baldur's Gate. I played through it without being complete-a-thon, or you know, really trying to get that 100%. The first playthrough, I usually play through the first time in a game like this as though I am the character, and if I do that, then I'm very on task, you know what I mean? So it, like, even some side quests might get skipped, because if I'm in a moment and in a mission, and that mission seamlessly links to another, I'll just get, like, railroaded. I'll get drugged down a line. But on second playthroughs, I purposely make different decisions, and I like see all the different outcomes. So my first playthrough, I ended up being very neutral. You know, my second playthrough, I decided I was going to use the origin characters, some of those people that you killed. And I didn't know this, but I think playing as the origin characters gives you a better experience than actually playing as the created character. It gives you a different experience, okay? But you wouldn't realize it until after you played as the created character. Like, you'd have to play and see them as a third person, and then put yourself in their shoes, because now you know how they're going to act. And then I try to like play it out as though I am Gale, the guy from the portal, right? And man, it has, they wrote one hell of a story.
That's awesome. Yeah, like I really respect people that can do that, like completionist gamers like that. Like I have so much respect for that. I think I think back to why I am the way I am, and I think a lot of this because I grew up on the Sega Saturn and a lot of 8-bit games that were shorter. So like once I get to like 1 or 2 hours for things, like I love platformers, I love rail shooters, like those are like my bread and butter games. You know, even like StarCraft and such, like the average match in StarCraft is 10 to 20 minutes. You know, I can play, you know, you might get a game every now and then that goes 40 minutes to an hour, but like for the most part, in an hour I could play a couple games, and then, you know, I feel accomplished and I'm ready to move on to something else. And I think a lot of that is because the Saturn was a lot of arcade games ported to the Saturn.
It was.
I grew up in arcades. Yep. And you know, a lot of the NES and N64 stuff I played for the most part was like shorter games. So I think that's where a lot of that came from. That I just, once I get to an hour or two, I'm like ready for the next thing.
You keep saying this word that I think a lot of people have forgotten because they feel few and far between. Arcade.
It's, and again, like, I'm an arcade rat. Like, I mean, that's another thing that happened this year toward the second half of 2023 was, I mean,
you got back in?
I got out of it a little bit more. My big thing there was like, I you know, between Pump It Up and DDR, like those are things that I played a ton of. And then just, I got so, well, I started, you know, with dance and things, I started teaching a little bit more, like volunteer teaching actually on like Tuesdays and such. So like, that was one of the days I used to go and play, go to Dave & Buster's and play. And then, you know, this would happen. And then that, and then with that, and then just adding that on top of work and, you know, the hours on that. And when I got promoted to my current role towards the, you know, beginning of last 2023, like we have Saturday hours, so like, which I didn't have in my previous role, so like I got used to, you know, having full weekends off every weekend. That was like every other weekend, and you know, just a couple little things like that, it just started wearing on you. So I just didn't play as much, and then I just kind of stopped going. once we got like towards the end of summer, and it was just, you know, I kept thinking like, oh, I need to go back and play, and then like, you know, something else would come up and something else would happen. But you know, I spent a lot of time in arcades and places like, you know, nowadays like Dave and Buster's and whatnot, but you know, growing up like mall arcades and whatnot, and you know, that's where I really grew as a gamer, and like playing fighting games, playing shooters, playing any of that stuff. Obviously doing DDR and whatnot too. So I think that's really informed the games that have really kind of spoken to me the most. Every now and then I'll get like a Zelda, like Ocarina of Time or Majora's Mask or a Journey or like Dark Souls 3. I think I had 93 hours in Dark Souls 3 that I really enjoyed just because of the challenge and such. You know, there are games that will draw me in. I was really enjoying Elden Ring and Sonic Frontiers as well, but the problem with those is they came out around the same time and I bought them both, so like they were competing, and I just, you know, they came out at a busy time, so it just made it difficult. So I think that's why I am the kind of gamer that I am, is because that's the stuff that I did when I was younger, and that's what feels right to me whenever I'm playing a video game. I was never a huge completionist outside of certain games that really, really got me in through. And a lot of that for me too, honestly, the things that drew me in a lot of the time was, yeah, there was the visual aspect, but it was the music. The games that I mentioned that drew me in, I have the soundtracks to all those games constantly on my iPod rolling, whether it's Journey or Nights in the Dreams or Majora's Mask or, you know, any like I have multiple Sonic the Hedgehog soundtracks on there, Final Fantasy VII, like those ones that really like drew me in were the ones. The one exception to that being Dark Souls. Although the boss fights in Dark Souls, like I was actually looking forward to the boss fights because of the music, the music that would happen when you'd get into the fights, and like I'd have, you know, those moments. Actually, that was probably my gaming moment of 2022. First time I fought Yorm. Did you play Dark Souls 3?
Yes.
So that moment you fight Yorm, and my brother was helping me a little bit because he's like, there's a storyline in here I think you'll really enjoy, because he knows it pretty well. And it was the Onion Knight story in Dark Souls 3 culminating into like Yorm. And that moment where he walks in, you know, if you do the quest line, he will join you for that battle. And just like his like moment, and like that scream he does when he charges in, and after just being like, I'm finally about to fulfill my oath, and this giant is running at you. You got this like this fat knight next to you, like Yorg. It was funny, but also like quite powerful. And then like you beat him, and then you have that ending scene, which I won't give away. And you're just like, my God, like, and the music in the background, it's like this choir singing, and you're like, this is so epic. But you know, and that boss fight was actually really difficult for me, even though, cause I never like, again, I don't explore, so like I was trying to fight him normal. I didn't realize there was a cheat weapon in the background that you could beat the guy pretty easily.
So yeah. I remember
face planting against him for like 3 or 4 hours.
It's funny, Dark Souls and Bloodborne, I like played with a friend through some of them, but they didn't capture me. And the same thing happened with Elden Ring, I hate to say. Like, a beautiful game, just it didn't draw me into the character enough. And maybe it's because I didn't give it enough of a chance, I don't know.
The interesting thing with those games, though, is like the story isn't, you have to find the story,
right?
Like, you know, right. Like if I were doing what I normally do, like going through games, like the Yorm storyline, like and the Onion Knight storyline, I would not have been. There's no way I would have found that on my own, because like, I mean, there's like two parts in particular where like you have to like. Areas that people probably would just normally explore, I run right past, and that isn't the part that would interest me. But there's like one spot where he's like in a well, and you have to like trigger a conversation, and I'm like, I would have missed that. I was probably like, why would you come over here? He goes, why would you not come over here? There's a well in the middle of nowhere. I'm like, but it, oh, I get that, but like that's not the road. So, like they were like it's a, I think that's why that moment was like surprising to me, because it was like, oh, yeah, all right, like. I would have completely missed that. But, you know, yeah, I miss things because of the way I do games. But because of the way I do games, that's also why my Baldur's Gate 3 run is very different than probably anybody else's first Baldur's Gate 3 run, because I just kind of do things and on like whims versus like, you know, really exploring. But like, I would play Baldur's Gate, I would do the main story. Like, I probably, you know, outside of like maybe specific quests or specific areas people might want to bring me into and like explore, I probably wouldn't pick up the game again, not because I didn't like it, but just because I'd be ready for the next thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear that. You know, that's, I think that's what also why I end up leaning the opposite direction, very similar reasons, just different stance, you know. When I'm dedicating time to a game, I want something that's going to slap me in the face with the story and then let me sift through the pages. You know, I don't mind picking up a book in a game and reading it, but I do mind if the entire game is like, you have to find this book to know what's going on.
Like, yes, you can play
through the whole game without reading this book, or you could read this book and play through the game and actually know why you're doing what you're doing.
and that is the truth of the Souls series of games, especially, you have to seek out the story.
I'm also a sucker for a good co-op game, and then it's not about the game, it's about the experience with my friends.
Yeah, it's
same reason why I love tabletop gaming, you know, same reason why I play D&D. It's not about granted, it's about D&D, but it's not about D&D. It's about kicking it with my homies, laughing, saying the most ridiculous things, and having the most epic moments over lunch or brunch or or dinner. You know what I mean? Like
spending 3 hours just creating a character.
dude, spend 3-4 hours after you created the character. We'll spend 3 hours shopping. You know what I mean? Like it's ridiculous stuff that I could tell you stories for days about that. But like, just great memories, man. And I think those are my favorite type of games. Games like Metal Gear, that you have that memory of switching over to the slot number 2. Anybody that played the game knows that. You know what I mean? Like, I need those iconic moments. I need those, like, I'm going to talk about this later. That's what makes the game for me.
I get you. No, I understand that. Yeah, I mean, I think those moments just come in different ways. I think for me is the way I'd probably describe it.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Kind of cool.
Yeah. It's like, we're both looking at the same picture from different perspectives. Yeah, exactly. You know,
that's why this works.
Yeah, man. But games, we love them, and you know, 2024, I'm gonna game more. Haha.
That's the plan. There were two other things. There was one other really cool gaming moment, and it was again in Yu-Gi-Oh, but it was during one of the YCS's. There was a feature match they showed where one of the players ran like a first turn Exodia deck, which, if you watch, you know, if you know anything about Yu-Gi-Oh, you know, you draw the 5 pieces of Exodia, you win that particular game. It's a gimmicky strategy, and it's something that hasn't been really like viable in the mainline game and like the, you know, the TCG in a long time. But an older player by the name of Jeff Leonard found a way to get all 5 pieces in the deck by like looping something, but not like an infinite loop. There was a limited loop, but he found a way to do this, and it actually made it to a feature match. And he didn't win like the event, but he did win the feature match, and he was like at that point, I think 3-0 or 4-0, and then he won that to get to 4 or 5-0, and had a really good showing at that tournament with this just like out of nowhere thing. And
Underdogs, man, I love it.
It was a feature match, so they streamed it, and I have that under my like videos on like YouTube. And literally there was a crowd gathering during game 3, because it made it to a game 3. And like, you think he's gonna lose, and because he got stopped at a point, but then it goes passes, play passes back, and because the other guy sided so much in, like, because you can side deck cards out in and out for games two and three. He sided so much out of his strategy to stop Jeff Leonard that he bricks. And so play passes back, and like he gets his combo going. You can literally hear people chanting like, "One more piece, one more." It was
wild. Oh, that's cool.
I'll send it to you. Even though they don't play the game, it's, I think you'll appreciate just kind of like the moment of it, because they explain it well and all that too.
I used to be a Magic the Gathering player, you know. So I completely understand. You know,
yeah.
I remember whenever I was trying to do my first turn, second turn, third turn decks, and how broken they were, but how awesome it felt when it worked.
It's always fun when something like that works out. Yeah, even now, like when I play Yu-Gi-Oh, like I have certain decks that I've run, and I'm just like, how, you know, no one else is doing this, or not very many other people are doing this, and they're not doing it like this, and It fills you with some pride, you know, when you find like little strategy and loopholes and things.
I also was one of those like players that had that deck that you knew wasn't that good, but you loved it anyway.
Oh yeah, so. I've had some pet decks over the years that like I could never let go, but
like, but it's terrible. My favorite.
It's hard, man. It's hard to let some of that stuff go. That's the cool thing about Master Duel is like, you know. For a while, that was part of the reason why I also didn't really try hard to climb the ladder in that, is because when I stayed at the lower levels, I could mess around a lot more and play with just like really dumb decks, but still get wins and still like, you know, earn gems and do all the stuff. And then I don't know what hit me, like back in November, I'm like, you know, let me try to grind this a little bit. Let me see how far I can get. And the problem is just time, because like you literally have to grind and just keep playing matches, and you know, you break, the other person breaks, but like you have to win a couple in a row to be able to get to the next level. And again, there's five tiers in every level, basically, that you're having to do that. And it just takes a while. So,
right.
You know, it's just, you know, that's not the kind of gamer I am. Like after I get to a certain number of hours, I'm kind of done. So I kind of pushed myself on that. It was kind of pretty crazy, but now we're kind of getting close to wrapping up. There's one more story I came across that I wanted to mention, just because I've watched a lot of these. Are you familiar with MatPat, the guy who does like the game theory videos?
Yeah.
Apparently he retired. He did like a goodbye video. I guess he's going to be spending. I know he had a baby. He got married, had a baby, all that stuff. I think he's like, that was like kind of the goodbye thing, is he's handing over a lot of the channels and a lot of things he was doing to other people. But like, I've watched so many of his videos over the last, I think it's like eight or so years that he's been on. And he has some really interesting ones and funny ones, and just like putting really weird theories that like based on like gaming mentality into like the seeing how, if it would make sense, how it could make sense if it did. I love his stuff on like the Zelda timeline. He did like a couple Mega Man theories, like this stuff really, like they were really funny. So I saw he was like kind of retiring from videoing, and considering how much he's around games and such, I was like, oh, that's kind of sad. But I thought I'd mention that one. That was kind of another one I saw as like a gaming related, gaming adjacent story.
Thank you for your time, Matt Pat.
Yeah. We appreciate you, sir. We appreciate you and your endless devotion to the minutia of just crazy theories on games. Because, well, I think what I really appreciate about his channel, especially the Game Theorist one, is just like, again, that there are certain games like my mind works like, how would that work in the real world? Or why would, like, what made them think of this? Or why did they use this and not this? Or why they, you know, and he kind of made it sound like, you know, I wasn't the only one who thought that way. And then he had this following of other people who also weren't the only ones who thought that way. So,
that
I appreciated about him. So, I know he'll never hear this, but I'm going to throw this out there and just be like, thank you. Thank you, Matt Pat.
Hey, you never know, man.
He may hear it. But I think that's about all I had for tonight. Do you have anything else?
You know, no. The only other thing I have is my plan to be back sooner than I was last time.
Well, I think we should make this commitment to each other so everyone can hear it. We're gonna try. We're gonna go one a month. We're gonna do 12 podcasts at least this year. If there's any sort of like major event, we can always add more if we want to. But the goal is 12. I feel like it's a reasonable goal, and we should be able to hit that. So. As always, my friend, I appreciate you joining me on this adventure. Thank you for being my co-host for another year, and happy 2024. I'm looking forward to more.
All right. Yeah. Happy 2024. More games in 2024 for everyone. And, you know, be on your best behavior, because we're still looking to be and are in Jesus's favor.
And as always, when life gives you lemons, don't make lemonade. Make life take the lemons back. Good night, everybody.